Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you have your Bibles tonight. We're going to run through a few scriptures, and we're going to begin over in Exodus. Tonight, we want to share from this subject, four things you can learn from an eagle. Look at somebody and say, there are four things. There's a lot more than four things, but there are four things you can learn from an eagle. Yeah. Look at somebody else. Tell them there are four things I'm going to learn from an eagle. You know, Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Remember over in Matthew 6, you're going to Exodus 19, but over in Matthew 6, remember, he said, look at the birds of the air. Observe the birds. Look at the birds. He said, they don't plant and they don't harvest anything. They don't store anything into barns. He said this, yet your heavenly Father feeds every single one of them, and you are more valuable than any one of them. So tonight, we're going to look not at the birds. We're going to look at a particular bird. We're going to look at the eagle. And we're going to share just four simple things with you tonight that we believe the Lord would want us to be reminded of. The eagle is a very special bird. Here at Winter Bible Seminar, you know, we had the beautiful, powerful flag ceremony. And on so many of those flags is that emblem of the eagle. And just many, many nations use the eagle as a symbol, an emblem. And you see the eagle just, you know, everywhere throughout our culture and society, of course. And the more we understand about the eagle, the more we understand why God himself tells us to pay attention to the eagle. The eagle has an amazing physique, first of all. They say with the eagle's eyesight, it's so sharp, the eagle's eyesight is so keen that from a mile away it can spot its prey. And the eagle can sense different currents. Sometimes it doesn't fly until it senses certain currents, but sometimes the eagle builds up speed or slows itself down, moving in a circular motion. But even though it's moving like that in a circular motion, from a mile away can keep its eye on its prey, still moving in a circular fashion. Its eyesight is so keen. And it has the ability, obviously we think of an eagle, we think of its ability to soar. And certainly an eagle has that capacity, that wingspan and strength that enables it to soar higher than other birds, higher than storms. The eagle has that ability to soar above storms, but it also has that ability to swoop down with an amazing speed and accuracy. And when the eagle is doing that, it moves almost, many times it moves motionlessly as it darts through the air toward its prey. And the reason oftentimes its prey doesn't even realize what happened until the talons grab it is because it's moving so quick and it's not doing a lot of wing flapping or anything like that. It's just swooping down with that amazing accuracy. And it's a monogamous bird, and eagles stay together for their entire lives. The eagles are known as the best parents of the animal kingdom. Their talons are so strong they can grip and lift prey many times their own weight. And as I said, the power to soar and to swoop are amazing. And so God himself identifies with the eagle. And let's go through real quick and take a look at some scriptures where God himself says something about the eagle through different people that he's using. So first, let's see what God told Moses. Exodus 19, if you will. Exodus 19. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read to verse 6. And most of these, except for our key text tonight, most of these are in New Living Translation. Okay, Exodus 19, verse 1. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp at the base of Mount Sinai. And then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. And the Lord called him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel." Now, what was the instruction God told Moses to give to Israel? Verse 4. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and you know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. And this is the message you must give to the people Israel. Verse 4 again, he told them, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and you know how I carried you on eagle's wings and bought you to myself. The Lord compared what he did in freeing Israel from Egypt's bondage to an eagle. He said, I bought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. I put you on my wings and I bought you out. He compared it to the flight and the strength and the pattern of an eagle. And God, and you know, God delivered them quickly, and after 430 years of bondage, the Lord heard their cries and he sent them a deliverer and he delivered them. And but when he tells the story, when God tells the story, he equates it to an eagle. To them being put on the back of an eagle, he's saying, I'm the eagle and I lifted you out of Egypt. And so he identifies with the eagle there. Over in Deuteronomy 32, Moses says something else about the eagle. Deuteronomy 32, starting at verse 9 this time. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. This is my key text here for you tonight. So this one I'm reading from New American Standard. Everything else is in the New Living Translation. But this one, my points are coming from this one that I'm going to make to you. So this is a New American Standard. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. Moses said this, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him," talking about his people, "in a desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him." Meaning the Lord cared for his people. "He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye." Verse 11. "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. The Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock." Verse 11 again, "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions." Again, identifying his redemptive work with the nation of Israel to that of an eagle. Then over in Job had something to say about it. Job 39 at verse 27. Go there, Job chapter 39, verse 27. Job weighed in on the eagle. Job 39 and 27. He said this, "Is it at your command that the eagle rises to the heights to make its nest? It lives on the cliffs, making its home on a distant rocky crag, and from there it hunts its prey, keeping watch with piercing eyes." Job knew something about the power of the eagle, where they make their nest in high places, in the clefts of rocks, places that are hard for predators to get to. And then they can watch their prey with piercing eyes. As I say, from at least a mile away, an eagle can do that. Then David weighed in on the subject. David, writing by the Holy Spirit, weighed in on the subject. Go over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Verses 3 through 5, Psalm 91 now, verses 3 through 5. We're talking about the eagle tonight. God has identified his redemptive work with his people, with this special creature, with this special bird, and we're looking at why. And now we're over in Psalm 91, verse 3 through 5. "For he will rescue you from every trap, protect you from deadly disease. He will," verse 4 now, "he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day." Verse 4 again, "he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings." Well, he's talking about an eagle's wings, an eagle's feathers. He's comparing himself to an eagle. again. Our Heavenly Father is then over in Psalm 103, if you will. Psalm 103. Those first five verses of Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Verse 5 now. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. One more for the sake of our time here. One more. Isaiah weighed in on this subject. Isaiah, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had something else to say about the eagle. Over in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40, starting at verses 27. We're going to 31, but we'll start at 27. Over in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31, New Living Translation. All right. Oh, Jacob, God's asking this question. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you not heard? Have you not understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And these passages of scripture we've seen from Isaiah to David in the Psalms twice, to Job, to Moses twice, God again and again identifying himself with some aspect of the eagle. I want to make four quick points to you, four very quick points in this time that we have tonight about the eagle and about these passages of scripture that we're reading. The first one, and going back now to Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, that's our key text. I'm going to make these points from this verse. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. It says there again, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions, talking about what God's done. And he's done that same thing for you and I. Amen. My first point to you is that God, he will challenge you and I. God will challenge you. Here it says that he stirred up its nest like an eagle that stirs up its nest. Why would an eagle stir up its nest? An eagle spends lots of many hours to build that nest. They say it's so sturdy that many times when that nest falls, even from hundreds of feet, when it hits the ground, it doesn't break apart. Most of it stays together. It's built so well. But at some point after the eaglets are born, and by instinct, then the eagle knows that the eaglets will never learn how to fly unless they're made a little uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, they've taken eaglets from the nest to see if the eagle just instinctively knows how to fly, and they've removed the eaglet from the nest, from its parents, and the eagle just flapped around and grew up like a chicken. There is something very definitive that the parents, the eagles, are doing to train, to teach those eaglets how to fly, and without that, the eaglets could not fly. They could not do it on their own. But they say that the eagles make the nest so comfortable that the inner, especially the center of the nest, is so comfortable that sometimes the eaglets don't want to leave. They've gotten so comfortable in that environment that they are not ready to leave. The parents are bringing them food and feeding them every day, and they don't want to leave. They make no effort to leave. And when that happens, the eagle instinctively knows to start making the nest a little bit uncomfortable. And they say that the eagle begins to pick sticks up and point sticks in opposite directions where those sticks were laying flat so that there was just a smooth, non-resistance, smooth bottom of the nest. They move and position sticks so that they're pointed and they're poking the eaglets and they're making them uncomfortable. And when that doesn't work, they say that the eagle then begins to push, to nudge the eaglets to the edge of the nest, begins to nudge them out there. And this process of challenging the eaglet goes on. And how many of you know that something like that occurs to you and I as we grow in grace, as we grow in Christ? The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight, but God requires more and more from you and I, and stuff that he let us get away with last year is not going to be okay this year. Why? Because he expects us to grow in the knowledge and in the grace and in our ability to walk in love and to walk in faith and use his word for everything. God's expecting us to, I wish I had an amen, expecting us to grow. My little grandson, you know, he's 2.5 and he just, you know, just a joy. And I just love that boy. And, you know, but he's learned so many things. I expect more from him. When he comes over to play with me, I say, okay, man, you got to clean up now. He used to just come over and wreck the joint. When he was gone, I'd be picking stuff up, cleaning stuff up. But you know, now I've come to expect something from him. And I'm saying, no. Now you're going to pick this up. We done played. We done had fun. We wrecked the joint. Now you and I are going to fix this. I expect more from him. And God, he has a way of expecting more from you and I. He wants us to be stronger tomorrow, I wish I had an amen, than we are today. And so sometimes he will make the nest a little bit uncomfortable. And he has a way of challenging us. And he has a way of you know, and sometimes because, you know, we can get, yeah, we all are creatures of habit. We all, you know, I go to exercise class. We all exercise in the same spot. Somebody told me the other day, Bill, get out my spot. That's my spot. But I could relate. I got my own spot. But anyway, you know, we're all creatures of habit. And the thing is, we don't like to be inconvenienced and we don't like to be uncomfortable. And oftentimes we quote something that's true on the one hand. That is that God, he's promoting us, that God, he wants to prosper us, that God, he wants for our well-being. That's certainly true. Certainly true. Thoroughly scriptural. But on the same hand, he doesn't want us to get so comfortable that he doesn't want us to be inconvenienced anymore. I said, I wish I had an amen there. And sometimes when we get so comfortable, then we can let prosperity, if we're not careful, prosperity is a good thing, but we can let it get in the way if we're not careful. And the gospel will challenge you and I. The gospel will inconvenience you and I. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. When you pick up your cross to follow the Lord Jesus, it will be inconvenienced many times. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I remember when I got my, you know, I had a 63 Falcon. And so, you know, that Falcon, it was 20 years old. And, you know, I've told you all about that car. And my friends called it the Blue Monster. It was two-tone, blue and rust. And I remember when I got my first real car, it was the car of my dream. I wanted a Volvo. Oh, man. Got a Volvo. It was real nice. Had corduroy seats. And, oh, man, had a rewinding cassette deck, crank sunroof. Oh man, that car was all the rage in my mind. But you know, when I had my Falcon, I would look for people to bring up and look for people who were walking toward our church back then in Richmond, Virginia. I would look for people in the Falcon and say, hey, you look like you headed to church. You need a ride. And you know, so if I saw like a brother with a Bible, it looked like he carried a Bible, something, I'd say, hey man, come on, get in. Or if I saw somebody say, hey, you want to go to church? I'd invite people to church all the time. But you know, after I got my Volvo, I started evaluating what they had on before I invited. I don't know if I want all that up in here, you know. Might not smell right. My prosperity had gotten away. The Lord had to bring me back over here. I said, stop that car and put them people in the car. Stop all that. The gospel will challenge you and I. Over in Deuteronomy 32:15, it says, but Israel soon became fat and unruly. Talking about after the Lord blessed them. They became fat and Deuteronomy 32:15. They became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed. And then they abandoned God who made them, and they made light of the rock of their salvation. Their prosperity got in the way. God calls you and I to walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes we get too comfortable inside the nest. And God wants us to reach outside of our four walls and help other people, to reach out to minister to other people, to reach out to volunteer with our time and our effort, to reach out to be a blessing to others. And sometimes he has to nudge us out of the nest. And walking by faith is not always fun, but it is always necessary. You're believing God for a job tonight. You know, you may feel like, man, I'm uncomfortable. I'm not in the comfortable part of the nest, but walk by faith, God will bring you through. You may be trusting God that, you know, healing in your body. You know, walk by faith, the Lord's bringing you through. He's already done it. Whatever you need, God's got your back. And the eagle challenges the eaglet to use its wings like our Heavenly Father challenges you and I to use our faith. The eagle flies with wings like the Christian walks by faith. And so Job said that the eagle sets his nest in the trees. And as God challenges you and I, my friend, don't let that cause you to get it twisted. God loves you. And he sees everything going on. And you are, in fact, the apple of his eye. And sometimes just because he rushed to your side when you was a baby Christian and he fed you worms every day and he bought everything every day and now he's making you walk by. Somebody said, well, where is God? Where are you, God? Where are you? He's right there. He's closer to you than he's ever been. Don't get that twisted. So what's your first point, preacher? God will challenge you. Just like it said, the eagle stirs that nest. Secondly, in Deuteronomy 32:11, he said again, like an eagle that stirs its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings, caught them, he carried them on his pinions. Secondly, God will not only challenge you by stirring the nest, he will cover you when you're in trouble. Said the Lord will cover you when you're in trouble. There's a picture, that second picture, yeah, that picture there, now you say, now that's a duck, that ain't no eagle. I don't know if you can see that clear. The reason I showed you this picture and not a picture of an eagle doing that is this one's more personal to me. I took that picture on a golf course. Actually got in trouble with my playing buddy because what happened is there was a hawk or something flying around and all the little baby ducklings, they were all running around. And then what happened is the mama noticed danger and somehow she called out to those ducklings and every one of them got right up underneath her. You can't see underneath her, but there's four or five ducklings underneath her. And I took out my phone and said, stop the golf cart, stop the golf cart. He said, what? What's the matter? I said, oh, did you see that? And he said, man, my playing buddy, he said, we ain't out here to watch no ducks. This ain't the zoo. Come on, Bill. I said, but man, the ducklings, they hovered right under Mama Duck. And Mama Duck protecting them. And that's how God the Father does us. He said, man, this ain't no Bible lesson.
I said, man, you don't know what you don't.
God, he will cover you when you get in trouble. And he hovers over his young and he spreads his wings over them and his wings will guard you and his wings will comfort you. And over in Psalm 91 again at verse 4, David said he will cover you with his feathers and he will shelter you with his wings. Oh, yes, he will. And the thing that is necessary when you get in trouble is that you move as close as you can to your Heavenly Father. Don't run from him when you get in trouble. Somebody may be in trouble tonight. Don't run from God. Run to God. Because he will put his arms around you. And Mama Duck was really saying, you got to come through me to get to them. And Father God said the same thing about you and I. And not only will he cover you when you're in danger, but he has already covered you and I through our redemptive realities. He's covered us from sin. He's covered us with his righteousness. The wings of his righteousness have covered us. In fact, you know, he's given us we are the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then, listen, not only did we receive Christ's righteousness, he took our sin, paid our penalty, and because of that, look, God doesn't see us in the light of sin. He sees us in the light of Christ's righteousness, which he's given to us. So we're covered. We're covered by his righteousness. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And I love that. Said that's a good benefit. But not only will God challenge you, he'll stir the nest. He'll stir the nest. Yes, he will. He will cover you when you're in trouble. Just like it said, thirdly, he will carry you when you're weak. He'll cover you when you get into trouble if you'll run to him. And somebody, you may be here tonight, you need to run to him. Don't run out those doors. In a few moments when we end, run to him. Don't run from him. And when what happens is the reason that those little ducklings hide under mama, they hide under mama because if they start running from mama, whatever they're in danger from will separate them and get them. To be protected, they got to stay under the wings. But thirdly, he'll carry you. He'll carry you when you're weak. Somebody said, I feel so weak. I don't feel the strength. I'm facing a storm, and storms in life can weaken you. Storms can weaken you. I have another picture for this point. It's an eagle here flying over the storms of life because you see how the eagles, their feathers are stretched out like that. The late Steve McQueen, he used to fly gliders. And he said this. He said that one day he was in his glider and he was very high up. And he said he was in the Rocky Mountains when he hit what he called a thermal, which was an updraft. And the late Steve McQueen, he said this. When he hit the thermal updraft, he decided to ascend with the glider to see how high he could get. And he said the glider climbed with the thermal, with the updraft, and he found himself 14 to 15,000 feet above the ground, which for a glider is very high. And he said when he got to 15,000 feet above the ground, he looked out the window, and there he saw tons of eagles. He said they were effortless. He said there was a storm. He said it was effortless. They were just effortlessly. He said they had extended their arms, and they were effortlessly flying up there. And he said he was amazed at how many eagles were up there doing that at 15,000 feet. And so God, he will carry you when you feel weakened by the storm. And birds don't like storm. Birds in particular don't like storm. But the eagle knows what to do. It uses its wingspan. It uses its strength. And it pushes up until it gets beyond the storm. And the Bible says here that Deuteronomy 32:11, again, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. Look, he carried them on his pinions. And when things get too tough, if you'll get into the Word of God and climb up on your Heavenly Father's wings, you may not have the strength to make it through the storm. But if you'll get on his shoulders, if you'll get on his rings, he promises to soar just like an eagle above your storm. With you on his back, he'll lead you up above the storm. And you'll be able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Moses said in Exodus 19:4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God said, I put all of Israel on my wings and flew you straight out of Egypt. I was your eagle. And so not only will God challenge you when you've been in the nest too long, he'll cover you when you're in trouble. But not only will he cover you, he'll carry you when you've been weakened by the storm. And finally tonight, he will catch you when you fall. I said the Lord will catch you when you fall. Back to our text, Deuteronomy 32:11, like an eagle that stirs up the nest that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. They say that as mama or papa eagle begin to push the eaglet to the edge of the nest, if the eaglet still doesn't fly, that often they push him out of the nest. But with that same swooping power, they've got soaring power to get above the storm, but with that same swooping power, now they swoop down with wings extended and catch baby eaglet. And they're teaching baby eaglet, you were created to fly. You're no chicken. You weren't created to be no chicken. You were created to fly. And they'll bring them back to the nest and push them out again and swoop down and catch them again. Until they start flapping and doing what they're supposed to do. They were created to fly. You and I were created to walk by faith, not by sight. And God, he will catch you when you fall. I have another picture I want to show you. This picture here, listen, that's a picture of Jesus at the front of the water. And you may feel like you've fallen through the water. But the Lord, he's extending his arm to catch you. He's extending his arm to grab you. Just like when Peter sank that day, Jesus grabbed him and pulled him right back up and they walked back to the boat. The Lord will catch you when you fall. If an eagle can swoop and catch that eaglet, God, he can swoop and catch you. But you've got to reach up to him. You've got to reach out for him. You've got to reach for his hand. And if you'll reach out for him, he'll help you. Isaiah 40, 31 said, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up or soar with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. My friend, are you feeling challenged in your faith tonight? Just remember, faith is the victory. Faith is your victory. Step out in faith and follow the Lord's leading in your life. If he's making you a little uncomfortable in some area, keep walking by faith and stay close to him. My friend, are you in trouble or in danger tonight? Then you need to really get close to God. You need to hug up, snuggle up, cuddle up next to him. Get in the word. Get so close to him. Hide under his wings. He'll protect you. He'll see you through. You said, I can't sleep at night. God, he will guard you and comfort you with his wings, enable you to sleep like a baby. My friend, are you going through a storm tonight? Get in the word and then learn to climb up on the Lord's back on his wings. And if you'll climb up on his back, he'll take you soaring with new strength above the storm and give you the, I wish I had an amen. He'll give you the ability to rise above the storm. Oh, yes, he will. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And finally, my friend, if you have fallen from him, if you have fallen away from him, and you need him to catch you tonight, you need him to help you up, just reach out to him. Repent, confess your sins, ask him for forgiveness, and he'll lift you up to where you belong. That old song said, where the eagles fly on the mountain high. And one more thing, remember this. He'll catch you when you fall, but remember, you're like an eagle, so don't be hanging around with crows and buzzards. Be who he created you to be. Don't live below your calling. Live up to your calling. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ, and there's no place for a buzzer at the seat of Christ. So live like it and act like it, because that's who you are. And that's what you can learn from an eagle. With every head bowed, Father, we've endeavored to share tonight these points on the reality of the eagle. You said, look at the birds of the air. Look, observe the birds of the air. Father, tonight we observe the eagle. And so we thank you for strengthening, helping your people, catching some, challenging others. Father God, still giving others the ability to soar above the storm, letting them ride on your wings above the storm. We look to you and thank you for helping us in every situation tonight. You know the needs in the house, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, you need something from the Lord tonight? That's what these anointed people are down here for. Somebody said, I thought they were down here giving autographs. They might give you an autograph, I don't know. But these anointed people are down here because they're here to pray with you and agree with you. And you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Whatever you need, come on down here. You need to get born again, rededicate your life. You need prayer. God's dealing with you on something. Don't go that way. Come this way. And you remember, you be here Sunday morning, and be here Hour of Power at 9, Sunday morning service at 10. And let's remember to keep praying for our pastor. Stand up on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, protect us and keep us as we prepare to go. One more thing. Pastor Marvin, was there anybody here that was their first night? Yeah. If it was your first, tonight was your first night, if you would go with our Connection team members, go ahead with them right now. We want to give you that good gift that Pastor Marvin was talking about. Give you a good gift in the name of the Lord. Just want to bless you for coming. Let's thank them once again, church family, for our guests. All right. You are dismissed. God bless you.